Very soon, as in, let's do the maths, 10 days from now will be Halloween, and then a couple of days after that, I'm pretty sure it's the Day of the Dead. Now, Lorna Piatti, for now, has talked to us about aspects of popular culture before many times, and she's back again to talk about these two events. Kia ora, Lorna. Welcome back to Nights.
Thank you, Brian. Good evening.
Now, first question, Day of the Dead and Halloween, are they not actually the same day or actually marking the same thing?
They're not the same day, although they are connected. The Day of the Dead, which is known also by its more official name of All Souls Day, is celebrated on the 2nd of November. Now, Halloween, also known as All Hallows Eve, actually falls on the 31st of October. Now, together, they're part of a Christian season, shall we say, known as All Hallowtide, which comprises of Halloween, All Saints Day on the 1st of November, and All Souls on the 2nd of November. Now, together they mark a period of commemoration, remembrance, and mourning, you know, especially on the 2nd of November, of the souls of the departed. So Halloween and All Souls are connected, but they're not necessarily the same thing.
Now, so many questions I could ask you about this, but let's go for how most people in the West mark the Day of the Dead and All Souls Day.
Yes, let's, you know, that's a great thing to talk about. Now, generally speaking, All Souls Day, colloquially the Day of the Dead, is a day of mourning, is a day of remembrance when prayers are said for the souls of those who have passed on. Now, the Day of the Dead is celebrated in different ways around the world, and there are a variety of very culturally inscribed customs and motifs that come up with the holiday. But in spite of the differences, there are some similarities, shall we say, that run across countries and run across cultures, and that's because it comes down to the Christian belief that is at the core. Now, All Souls Day, the Day of the Dead, is particularly observed by Catholics, so it definitely has a lot of Catholic associations and connotations that come with it. Now, commonly observed practices for All Souls include primarily visiting the cemetery or the graveyard where loved ones are buried. Another very common, you know, ritual, shall we say, is tending to the graves, cleaning them up and saying prayers, you know, feeling close to the departed. Now, there are a lot of different practices, and which include broadly attending a service or a mass. And a very common and recurrent one is also eating particular foods that are associated with the Day of the Dead in one way or the other.
I didn't realize there were foods. What are the foods associated with the Day
of
the Dead?
I'll give you a little bit of a personal, you know, personal experience kind of, you know, memory. In Italy, you can actually eat what is known as pane dei morti, which literally translates into the bread of the dead. And this is a sort of like chocolatey biscuit slash cake kind of baked good, where the brown of the cake actually represents the soil where the dead are buried. And there are nuts in the biscuit, almonds in particular, and those actually represents the bones of the departed. And now that is, in equal terms, delightful and morbid. But it definitely, you know, brings into the foreground that very sort of idea, concrete idea that death is a part of life. Yeah, well, and there are many, many other foods,
Lorna,
you know.
Did you grow up in Italy, Lorna?
As a child, yes. Yeah. I spent my childhood in Italy.
So what happened on the Day of the Dead? What would your family do?
Well, my family would do what quite a lot of people do as part of, you know, on a global sense, wherever, particularly there are Catholics. So we would go to the cemetery, and we would tend to the graves of our dearly departed, our family members, our loved ones. We would say prayers, and we would just spend some time really mourning, but really remembering most of it, of all, their lives. And that is a very important part, I think, about the Day of the Dead. It sometimes gets misinterpreted outside of the religious and spiritual context. You know, because it's known as the Day of the Dead, there might be an understanding that, or perhaps, you know, just the thought that it's a holiday centered on death. Well, in reality, it really takes on almost aspects of celebration, and it's really focused on the beauty of life rather than the inevitability of death. And it's just a moment, really, a somber moment, particularly in Italy, it was for me definitely as a child, to just remember what we've lost and look forward to the future.
Well, now there are three things that come to mind that I associate with the Day of the Dead. Let's get rid of the pop culture one first. Zombies, you see? I think of Day of the Dead, and I think of people dressing up. But it's related to the second thing, which is skulls. People dressing up in skeleton suits and stuff, and it's like they're pretending to be zombies. But you know, that's from what you're telling me, that's the complete opposite as in terms of what you see it as.
No, well, I don't see it like necessarily. You see that there are many intersections here, you know, like, and some of them have a little bit of a religious root, but like you rightfully say, Brian, it's definitely based in popular culture. Now, one of the roots and spiritual and cultural and religious roots that definitely may inspire that trend, let's call it trend for lack of a better word, might be the association of the Day of the Dead in the popular imagination with the Mexican version of the holiday, Dia de Muertos. Now, the Muertos is definitely very well known, and you know, like in common terms, because of a lot of films that have been focused on it, and just simply because of the iconography. Now, the holiday actually takes very special tones in Mexico and other countries in Latin America, or where there are Latino communities. Now, All Souls definitely does have a little bit of a somber tone, but Day de Muertos in Mexico is a very bright and colorful holiday, and it's focused, again, on celebrating the lives of those who have passed on. Now, at the center of the celebration is the use of skull iconography, usually as a flower skull, which many of us may have seen, sort of the skull surrounded by flowers. And this appears very commonly, it's printed on banners, it's printed on postcards. And because there are parades a lot of the time in Mexico for Dia de Muertos, people will actually dress up as skeletons, and they will dress up as, you know, that sort of like flower skull motif. It was a very important part of the culture and is strongly associated with Dia de Muertos. So that may have sort of like, as he often does in popular culture, have crossed over from that religious, spiritual, and very culturally inscribed context into the popular imagination. So you see sort of skulls, Dia de Muertos, skulls cropping up in Halloween celebrations, even though, like we said, they're very different. And a lot of people who have nothing to do with that culture or even with Catholicism as a religion will still dress up as that sort of like skull-like zombie. So that's probably where it comes from.
The other thing I associate with the Day of the Dead is light. I remember going to Kiribati in late October, early November, and I saw lights on the graves, and lots of them. And I could be wrong here, but I think that was associated with particularly people who were followers of the Catholic Church in that country, and the time of year, the Day of the Dead. Was I right in guessing that?
What is very common, a very common custom to light candles as part of the Day of the Dead celebrations. It is part in general of Catholic ways of celebrating and praying to light candles, but particularly on All Souls, the candles come to represent the souls of the departed. And there is some belief, and this is a very long-standing belief, and it doesn't apply to all, you know, like churches that observe these customs, that the candle actually brings balm together and comfort, you know, together with prayers to the souls of those who have passed on. So lighting candles, putting particular flowers on graves that are associated with the holiday, with the Day of the Dead, is also very common. You know, like in Dia de Muertos, they put cempasúchil, which are very bright orange marigold, which in a similar way to the candle have this sort of representational meaning that stands for the fragility of life and the duality of life and death and the remembrance of souls. So these are motifs and customs that are always associated with that idea of bringing the souls of the departed back just for a little bit of time into our consciousness so that we can remember them and mourn them and feel closer to them.
Is it too much of a generalization, Lorna, to suggest that in terms of Christian nations, mainly Christian nations, the Day of the Dead is the main day for those who are Catholic, while Protestant countries, countries with more of a Protestant tradition, might go for Halloween?
Well, it is a little bit of a generalization in the sense that Halloween in itself is, in the current incarnation, is definitely a Christian holiday, regardless of the denomination. You know, it's still All Hallows Eve is still observed by Catholics. And of course, in countries that do have roots connected to Celtic rituals, which Halloween also has some connections to, connected to the Festival of Samhain, which you and I, Brian, have talked about in the past on another occasion, definitely may feel a little bit more connection to practices such as carving pumpkins and lighting lanterns as part of the pumpkin tradition, gourds, you know, where there are no pumpkins. So I think it's not necessarily an either or situation, but it's more about the local and regional customs, which are necessarily connected to the culture, which will be more meaningful to people. So it's not necessarily about the spiritual denomination, but also the cultural ways in which people take on the celebrations for the dead.
And doesn't this all predate Christianity anyway? I mean, these dates, late October, early November, are around about halfway, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. Now, that's not a coincidence, is it?
It is not a coincidence. Now, Christian holidays, you know, do have a lot of connections with times of year and seasons, with pre-existing, rituals and celebrations that would have been part of the polytheistic or inverted commas pagan, you know, context, if you want to use that term. And of course, Christianity incorporated a lot of customs and a lot of Christian holidays as far as the ways of celebrating go, at least, definitely have echoes of those pre-Christian rituals. Now, as far as All Hallowtide goes, the 31st of October actually marked what was known as, in Europe, in a lot of European countries, particularly of a Celtic denomination, marked what was known as the Eve of Samhain. And Samhain was a festival that ran throughout the whole month of November, and it was a harvest festival. It was a time of drawing in, and you see those days were very important for family coming together, telling stories, and just being, you know, like the center of the community. Now, it was also a belief, and this applies to the majority of festivals, you know, pre-Christian festivals, especially in the Nordic parts of Europe. It was believed that during festivals such as the Eve of Samhain, the barrier, the veil between the spiritual world and our world would be at the thinnest, and therefore spirits could cross over. Now, Samhain was not a month of the dead, a celebration of the dead, in spite of what some may have claimed, but definitely that idea of thinking of end of October and beginning of November as a time of celebration and remembering those who have passed is definitely filtered and become incorporated over the centuries. You know, obviously it takes time, right, into these Christian celebrations and particularly Catholic. So there's definitely a connection. They're not the same thing, but we can see the echoes and the influence definitely being there.
For you, Lorna, is there any special significance in this year's Day of the Dead, All Souls, and maybe last year's as well, because they come in the middle of our biggest global pandemic since 1918?
Yes, they do. And it's a very difficult time. And there are a few things to be said about that, of course. You know, pandemic has brought so much devastation. So many lives have been lost. So it may seem untactful to even celebrate something that is known as the Day of the Dead, you know, because, you know, of its collective emphasis, you know, in the popular imagination on death, you know, like during the pandemic, and we're seeing it now even in New Zealand with some of the restrictions brought by lockdowns, it's even difficult to have proper funerals for our, you know, loved ones that pass on. So to actually, you know, let alone to celebrate, you know, like, you know, have a festival that celebrates the dead. So it's definitely very difficult, and it's a sensitive and delicate subject. At the same time, for those who do believe, who are part of that spiritual belief, especially Catholics, the Day of the Dead can bring a lot of comfort because it is a day of remembrance and it is a day of hope that one day, we will see our loved ones again. So there is a little bit of duality about it. And I think for those who do prescribe to the belief, in spite of all the difficulties brought by the pandemic and in spite of all the lives that have been lost, there can be a lot of balm. And even if we do not subscribe to that belief, I think there should still be respect for those who do and how important the Day of the Dead really is as part of their communities.
Lorna, so nice to have you on again. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
That's Lorna Piatti for now, who's an academic at Auckland University, specializes in pop culture, talking about it. And she'll be back again with another discussion on, I guess, an aspect of our cultural lives that maybe we take for granted, but which is actually a big part of how most of us live in around about 2.5 months from now. Now, 2.5 months might mean the middle of January, late December, early January, but if she can't, we can't squeeze another one in from Lorna before Christmas, it'll certainly be early in the new year.